The Christian life, it's hard. How do you stay in it when you don't want to? Oh, it's easy to take a day off, or even a week, or a month, or even a year off from being engaged with our walk with Christ. So how do you stay in it? How do we stay engaged? I like what the esteemed Christian author A.W. Tozer once said. He said, God never uses anyone greatly until he tests them deeply. You see, their journey of faith is not so much about a walk in the park. It's more about a climb up a mountain. You see, it requires effort, perseverance, dedication. It requires this constant passion and fervor. And that's what we want to focus on today. Over the past several weeks, Pastor Brian has been sharing, we've been going through the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12 to be exact. It's kind of calling this Practical Faith University. And we're trying to gain some key insights into how to live out our faith in everyday life. You see, the Apostle Paul gives us some great advice in Romans chapter 12, verse 11. That's where we're going to be today, specifically with that verse. And so I thought it would be great, out of reverence for God's word, because I want us to read this text together. So let's stand, if you're able to, and let's read this text together and just let it soak in to our minds and our bodies today as we focus on Romans chapter 12. Never be lacking zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. You recognize this verse is actually a call to action. It's a divine command to maintain our spiritual fervor, it says. And of course, to serve the Lord with all of our might, he's saying. Give it everything that you have. It's really an invitation to live a life of passion. But yet, how do you do it? How do you live every day with a life of passion? Now, for me, if the Huskers were playing every day and winning, I could live a life of passion. I got really worked up the other night when we were playing Penn State in volleyball. Down two sets, and we would do a reverse sweep on them. That gets me excited and pumped up. But the Christian walk at times, how do we keep that passion? Well, Paul says when it's hard, he's very clear. He says, keep the passion burning. That's what it means. Never be lacking in zeal, as he says. And you understand the text, the word zeal in the text means enthusiasm or passion for the Lord. That's what he's talking about. It's really this fire that burns deep down inside of us, that permeates down through our fingertips all the way out. It's really the driving force, he says, that really gets us up in the morning, helps us motivate to keep going. It propels us to move forward. It's the energy that gives us our faith. In the original Greek text, this word zeal actually means zeo. And you know what zeo means? It really means about boiling a hot water or extreme heat. It means you're hot. And Paul's not talking about our good looks either here in this text. Although it'd be nice at times. But actually, I think Paul is maybe recollecting or thinking about a situation that he has to deal with, a young man named Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul really has to encourage this young man because he's cooled off. He's really struggling in his faith. He's been sick at times. And he's saying, Timothy, for this reason, Timothy, I want to remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, he says. He's basically saying, hey, Timothy, do you remember at your ordination when the elders and myself gathered around you and laid hands on you? Do you remember that? Remember, it's the Holy Spirit that you need to rely on. It's not yourself. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you that passion to keep moving. Do you remember that day when you said yes to Jesus? Do you remember what it was like to have that passion burning because you were so excited to conquer the world for Christ. Rely on him. Don't give up. I like what Lee Eklof would say. He said, Christians have in them the Holy Spirit more power than what we know what to do with. And I think that's so true. We have so much Holy Spirit that we take it for granted and don't know how to respond to him at different times. I think a lot of it, we're just so distracted and we don't even know that he's there living inside of us. And the Apostle Paul is reminding Timothy, you've got to tap in to the Holy Spirit. Let it keep burning with a great passion inside of you. The next part of that verse that Paul says, he says, I want you to stay aglow in the Lord, he's basically saying. He's saying, but you keep your spiritual fervor, is what Paul is saying. How can we glow? He's talking about a heat that comes from the fire of our faith that permeates. It's a warmth that comes from our love for God and a glow that comes from a deep devotion that we have for Christ in each of us. There should be something about when people look at your life or just see you, how you live out your life, that there is something different, that there is a glowing, not only on the inside, but it should come out on the outside of you. And they're like, hey, what is it about you that I see you just permeate with this bright glow? There's a warmth about you that people are attracted to you. That's what Paul is talking about here. And he says, you keep that fervor. That word keep in the Greek is kairos, which means to guard or to keep watch. And I love it because he's saying, we have a responsibility to guard this fervor that's inside of us. And he said, it can't be passive action, but it has to be an active effort on our part to guard it with everything that we have. Keep that flame going, burning brightly, he's saying. And the same word we find, kairos, is in 2 Timothy 4:2, when he tells Timothy, he says, Timothy, I want you to preach the word. But then he goes on to say here, be prepared. Keep. Watch. You guard the word with everything that you have. And Paul was no stranger to what it meant to keep this spiritual fervor. He writes a letter to the church in Philippi in Philippians chapter 3 when he says these words. He says, I press on toward what, he says? Toward the goal. What goal is he talking about? A prize which God has called me heavenward toward. He reminds the people, hey, you've got to keep pressing on. You got to keep watch, be responsible. And then Apollos, we see in Acts 18. It's the same idea of this spiritual fervor that Apollos is showing. When he says, here in Acts 18, 25, he says, he had instructed in the way of the Lord. And he spoke, this is Apollos, he said, and he spoke with what? Great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, even though he only knew about the baptism of John. Even though maybe Apollos was still growing in his faith, he didn't know everything about Jesus Christ and why he was here. Yet he had a fervor about him that he wanted to tell everybody about Jesus Christ. I just want to say, if you're young here in this room, I pray, because as we get older, there's at times where the light just wants to go out at times. And I know at times we can be discouraging and hard on young people, but I want to encourage you, if God is calling you to do some great things, that we would come beside you and encourage you to do those things. And be bold in that. Be an Apollos who had great fervor. Keep it hot, intense, and passionate. People should know and take notice that there is a glow about us, that they want to be a part of that as well. Here's the last part of this verse I want to tie into. He talks about staying devoted to the Lord. He says, serve the Lord. Serve in this context simply means to be devoted to Jesus Christ, to dedicate our lives to service. And really where you see the same idea, we talked about it several weeks ago, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Offer your what? Bodies as living sacrifices. That's what it means to be fully devoted to the Lord. When we're fully surrendered, submitted, offering our bodies as living sacrifices to God. We're always dedicated in His service, always committed to His will. Even Paul has to remind in Colossians, the struggle is real, because slavery was real back there, where people were having a hard time serving men, especially when they felt like they were entrapped and enslaved. But the Apostle Paul reminds him in Colossians 3:22, he says this, he says, whatever you do, do it, he says, with all your heart, as though serving for the Lord and not man, not human masters, he says. And that's hard. It's a hard deal because we feel like that we're serving our fellow brothers or our bosses. But Paul is saying, hey, guess what? When you get up and go to work every day, you're not serving your boss. You're serving God. Amen. Guess what? When you get up every morning to get the kids onto the bus, you're not just serving the family, you're serving God. Amen. When you're scrubbing that toilet, or you're changing that diaper, you know what I'm talking about. I've been there. And I got to tell you, changing two diapers in the same season is not fun. You get one change, and then there's another one waiting for you. I'm like, I thought I just changed this one. And I'm like, honey, it's your turn. I'm tapping out. But Paul's reminding us, we're serving the Lord when we're taking out the trash. When you come to church on Sunday mornings, you think you're serving the church? No, you're serving the Lord. So how do you keep your passion alive? Well, I think there's some wood that we can add to the fire to help us. And that's what I want to talk about. There's four pieces of wood that I want to add to the fire today that I think will help add passion, turn up the heat with our relationship with Christ today. Mark asked me if there's anything he could do. I said, well, when I get to this point, could you light a little fire? And he thought that was not a good idea. If you can contain it. So we won't, for fire marshal's sake. And yeah, well, yeah. Steve might not like it either. We'll see how good our insurance is. No. So four ways we can add wood to keep our fire going for the Lord. Number one, I believe it has to be a constant communion with God. Here's the thing. It's not about an occasional or sporadic engagement with scriptures. It cannot be just opening our Bibles on Sunday morning. Folks, I want to tell you that will not cut it. It has to be regular, every day, when you wake up, when your head hits the pillow at night, you should have been immersed in God's Word. And I know we have jobs and responsibilities, but we've got to take time to be in constant communion with God. When you're faced with difficult challenges, have you immersed yourself in Scripture so that you're hearing from God, so He knows how to speak to you? Are you listening to Him every day, every moment of the hour? That's why the psalmist reminds us in Psalms 119, he says this, letting the word of God be a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. C.S. Lewis once said this, he said, God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from Himself because it's not there. He says there is no such thing. And as we see in the Middle East, we're in turmoil. There is no peace. And to really to get to that point, we've got to be in constant communion with God. Things would change dramatically if people were in tune to God, if they were engaged in God's Word daily and seeking after Him. That's what it means to be in constant communication, constant communion with Him. When you find God, you're in His Word, He speaks to you. Another way we can add wood to the fire is this commitment to obedience. The Apostle Paul addresses this early on in Romans chapter 1, verse 5, when he says this, through him, received grace and the apostleship. And he goes on to say to call the Gentiles to what? To obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. He repeats the same thing, obedience, over again in Romans chapter 15. And just so that we understand, he reminds us in 2 Corinthians 10 when Paul says, we demolish every argument, he says, every pretense that sets itself up against what? Against the knowledge of God, he says. And we take captive every thought and what? He says, and make it what? Obedient to Christ. I like what James says. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And church, here's my biggest struggle. I think we know a lot of scriptures. But here's the challenge that I struggle with even myself. Out of those scriptures that I know, being obedient to what God's word says. I hear this so often. Pastor, I know what God's word says, but I'd rather do it this way. I know what God's word says, but it's more comfortable living this way. And when there's a lack of obedience in our life, there's going to be a lack of passion for Christ. And it's going to show. Another area that we've got to step up and add wood to is our commitment to sharing God's word. You remember several weeks ago, Pastor Brian had handed out those books, Pray and Go. And I know some of you are doing that, and I appreciate that. Man, those are really challenging you to kind of step out of your comfort zone. But it's not just as much as keeping the word to ourselves, but we got to be sharing it with other people. Matthew 5:14 reminds us that we need to be a light in the world, shining brightly for those around us. Victor had shared that same passage, Matthew 5:14, today. Can I tell you what? Victor, we got to celebrate Victor's birthday Thursday. But this guy, he's contagious. He'll see anybody out on the streets and say, hey, do you want to come to the breakfast? And just invite them. And so I'm looking around the room, I'm like, I don't know half of these people here. But praise the Lord. That's a great problem. That's what I want to see every Sunday morning when I look around the room. I want to see half of us that I don't know each other. And then I want us to get to know each other. I want to share God's word with each other. And there's some people standing here today because the word was shared with you and you're here today. Can I tell you how I ended up in the church? It was because of a milkman coming in the door every week delivering milk and sharing about this great church that he was a part of, convincing my parents that we should go because they had a great youth program. Changed the trajectory of my life. The elders there encouraged me to go to Bible college, even though I was like, that's the last place I want to go. It's amazing when you share God's word, when you share God's with other people, how that has a huge impact and how that lights a fire under yourself as well. Peter and John, you know, they were in prison and they were told to keep quiet by the authorities at the hands of Sanhedrins. And of course, I love what Peter and John replied to the authorities in Acts 4:19, especially when it goes against God's word. I believe in obeying the authorities, but when it goes against God's word, then there has to be a line drawn. And so this is what Peter and John replied. He said, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him or to God? You be the judges about that, he says. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. They could not keep quiet. Amen. When you got that fire in you, you're not going to want to keep quiet. You're going to want to share what God has been doing in your life. I love what Richard Wurmbrand, who is founder of the Voice of Martyrs, he shares a powerful testimony, a story about him being the pastor in Romania. And he'd been in prison for 14 years. And of course, there was strictly forbidden to preach the gospel message. And especially in prison where they're at, they were forbidden to tell anything about Jesus Christ. And so there was an agreement that if they preached, they would get beaten. And so they kind of have this little agreement saying, okay, I guess we're going to preach. We're going to be happy preaching, and they're going to be happy beating us. And so they said that both parties were happy. Talk about a passion to share God's word, even faced with those kind of consequences. And here's another one, maybe probably for some of us, maybe the most important piece of wood that we need to add to get that fire stoked. And that's a commitment to persevere. It's not about giving up, but it's about staying the course when it gets tough. It's about pressing on when you want to turn around, even when faced with adversity. And some of you in this room here today are faced with some severe adversity, some challenges. It's about standing firm in our faith. It's about holding on to God's promises, even when maybe it doesn't make sense with your circumstances today. And it's never loving giving up on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. The Hebrews writer in chapter 12 writes these words. He says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses," he says, "let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that easily entangles us," he says. And then he goes on, "let us run with" what? "With perseverance," he says, "the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on" what? "The author, the pioneer, and perfecter of our faith," he says. "For the joy set before him," he what? "Christ endured the cross," he says. There it is. "Christ persevered," he says, "scorning its shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." The Hebrew writer is basically saying, hey, there are men and women that have lived their whole lives. They have trusted in Christ and they've persevered. And they were faithful to the end. And then just like a hand stroke, he quickly moves and tosses his hand and dismisses this group. And guess what he focuses on? He focuses on his readers. He actually focuses on us. And he says, guess what? I want you to understand it's your time now. This is where you're at. Get rid of anything that may be holding you back, distracting you from running the race, from having that deep passion that you need to have. Oh, I know it's easy to say, but man, it's difficult to do when the rubber meets the road. Those relationships you have, those habits that you're a part of, are the plans, are the pain that you're dealing with. He's like, man, those are hard to toss aside. I get it. But you've got to run with great passion. You've got to let those things go, he says. You've got to give up. If Jesus can endure, if he can let those things go, not my will, Jesus said, but your will, Father. If he can let those go, and if he can persevere, you can do it too. The Apostle Paul experienced difficult times, a great reminder that he was human just like us, because in Romans chapter 7, I believe it's around in verse 15, the Apostle Paul talked about, hey, there's some things I don't understand, things that I don't want to do, but guess what? I end up doing them anyway. I can't figure it out. Things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I should do, I don't do. I was like, what's going on? You see, in Paul's mind, he's serving God. But there are things in his own life, temptation and desires, that are pulling him away from serving God, and he knows it. And yet he's saying, we have to endure. Stay the course. I don't know if you're familiar with an autobiography of Lucy Greeley, Autobiography of a Face, it's entitled. You can research that, look it up. Anyway, Lucy shares how she had a malignancy in her jaw and cheekbone. And because of that, she had to have several surgeries. It was 30-plus surgeries that she was faced with, from a young girl to a young-age woman that she was dealing with most of her life. And she shares about that, how she was badly disfigured and in great pain all the time. And the only thing that she wished for her whole life is that she could have a new face. That's the only thing she wanted, just a new face. And every time that she saw someone that was pretty or handsome walking down the street, guess what she would do? She would take her long hair and try to cover up the side of her face so no one could see it. Or she would hide her face. Or she would wear long floppy hats so no one could see her face. Because she was angry, bitter, and envious of the people that had a pretty face. And she didn't have one. It wasn't until in her late 30s that she only realized then that it wasn't a face that she really needed. It was a new heart that she needed. You see, she was preoccupied all the time by the wrong things. And my concern here is in this room today as well is that we're preoccupied by the wrong things. And we've lost our passion. Because we've been pulled away by the things that we think are important to us. And some of us may need a new heart as well. Paul, early on in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, remind us, catches a glimpse of it, that he probably dealt with some of the same things as well. Because he writes these words, he says, "For I am not ashamed." Why would he say, "I'm not ashamed"? It's probably because he dealt with maybe shame, or didn't want to share Christ, or wasn't proud of some things that he did. But then he goes on to say, "I'm not ashamed of what? The gospel." Why? Because he says it's because it's the power of God. Dunamis, he says, that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Paul was passionate about the gospel because of the power that it brought to people. And that English word dunamis, we get dynamite from. That's power. I love what William Barclay says about dunamis, is the power to shoulder back. The breaking task, he says, to stand erect in the face of shattering situation. The power to retain faith in the faith of soul-searing sorrow and wounded disappointment. There's power in the gospel. And when there's that kind of power, you can find that kind of passion. And for the key application as I wrap up today, I believe being passionate means being unashamed and wanting to know, not only wanting to know God better, but also love him better. And love him better is really this idea of obedience. If we love someone, we're going to obey them. And then we're going to want to tell others about him and not give up. You see, Paul kept his passion in spite of the challenges he dealt with. He was a no-quit Joe attitude. He just kept going and going. Jesus was a no-quit going and going. He gave up his life for each one of you and endured the cross. Talk about a passion. Can't even describe that kind of passion that he has for each one of us here in this room today. So as we close out our time, I want to end with this. What areas of my life do I need to add more wood? What is the area that I need to add more wood to? Is it my communion with God? Being consistent with my time with God every day on a regular basis? And if for whatever reason, the day gets by, you just start up and go again the next day. Or maybe I'm struggling with obedience. There's some things that I'm involved with and I know God has called me not to be in those areas. Maybe it's relationships, unhealthy, how I'm spending my money, my work environment, how I'm responding to the people around me. Some things I need to change. Or what about sharing your faith? Has God prompted you to share your faith with someone? Especially maybe a family member saying, "Hey," he's nudging you on the shoulder to call them up, send an email, or maybe write a letter. Or even someone at the restaurant maybe you're going to go to later today. Or you'll see at the grocery store that's nudging you. I don't know what that may look like. And for others in this room, it took everything that you had to come here through these doors today. And I want to say there is a body of believers, the Apostle Paul, Jesus Christ is here, is saying, don't give up. Don't stop running the race. You're so close. So close to the finish line. Don't stop. Don't quit. You keep the passion. You keep that fire burning inside of you. Because here's why. Because the power of the Holy Spirit lives in each side of us here today. And if you have not experienced a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's going to be hard to have that passion. So I encourage you to say yes to God if you have not said yes to God today. To put Him first in your life and to see what kind of work that He will continue to do in Him. So what wood do you need to add to the fire to keep your passion burning? God, thank you for the gift of your Spirit. Thank you for the gift of life that you've given each of us because of the great love that you have for us. May our hearts always burn bright for you. May we never be ashamed of your gospel. God, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have a decision you need to make this morning, I want to encourage you to do that as Robin and Victor and the rest of the team come forward, lead us into a time. If you just need to sit there and process some things about your life, that's perfectly fine to do that. If you need prayer, I encourage you to come up. Love to pray over you today. Or maybe you're saying, hey man, I want this to be my church family, my church home, because I just want the support and to be real and be honest before you. Because I believe we need the community, the body of believers, to help this fire to stay bright and burning. So whatever decision you have, I encourage you to do that today. Don't leave here without making a decision before the Lord. So let's stand as we close out our time today.